A lot of times I make analogies to sports, and I don't know if it's because sports to me seems more disciplined and is something you've got to continually wake up every day thinking about or doing, or, you know, just if you're not actually in your area of expertise, you're not practicing, you know, your area, you're building out other areas like diet and, you know, right. And sleep and food, you know, it's just making sure that you're not losing sight of the fact that this is a continuous loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a continuous process. And I think anyone who's out there and looking to hire leaders and managers and just successful A-team players in their business often are attracted to those who have, as youth, played sports or competed at the high school or collegiate level in athletics. There's a certain amount of discipline and focus that, you know, they've brought to that discipline. And I think it was actually interesting. Last night I was listening to a podcast from the sports psychologist for the Stanford soccer program.
Right.
And Stanford University, obviously, if you are going to play collegiate athletics at the Division I level, you have to be very good at that sport. But to also to play it at somewhere like Stanford, where they don't bend the admissions for the athletes, anyone who's playing athletics, particularly at a sport like soccer, is coming in from, you know, being taught in their school as well, academically. And what's interesting about the Stanford program there is they just won the third national title in a row for boys soccer, and then they won the women's national title as well. So both the men and the women won the NCAA Division I national title this year, just this past week, and for the men. And what the sports psychologist for the program was saying is it's not a coincidence that outstanding students become outstanding athletes, which ultimately mm-hmm. become outstanding leaders and members of their community and business leaders and whatnot. And there's direct parallels in their ability to focus and be achievement oriented. So I've always been drawn, whether we're hiring interns and teaching them the way of the digital marketing world, mm-hmm. Or if somebody is coming in at a more of a senior level, and coincidentally they happen to be playing collegiate athletics or high school athletics, we can't help but be attracted to those type of members of our team.
Right, right. Well, we're still gathered here today talking about top of funnel, and uh-huh. most of my audience is interested in improving, augmenting, optimizing the ability mm-hmm. to start conversation with those whales on a consistent basis so that yep. there's high revenue, high lifetime value. So I asked you to come on the show today because I know that you're coming from, if I say this correctly, more of a marketing side of things to serve up those great opportunities for us and help mm-hmm. generate the awareness and all things digital in getting people to bubble up to the top so that we have more quality coming into the pipeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know Hardy Kalischer is the executive vice president of a company called Parallel Path that's out of Boulder, Colorado. We met a few years ago when I was working with Aaron Ross on an account. I think they've since been bought out, actually, but they were looking to look at other ways besides the outreach program in order to generate buzz around their product service. And also, they had this issue, which I still see today, Hardy, and that is we get leads in, we get a lot of leads in, but there's some minnows in there that are kind of muddying up the pipeline mm-hmm. and creating a lake out of it instead of a nice flowing machine. And so I'd like for you today to tell us about, you know, some of the things you've learned over the years and how digital marketing is best implemented, especially if we could focus on the outreach side of things and trying to target those accounts that are going to give us high revenue potential, high likelihood of closing, high lifetime value, whatever that marker is for you guys that you know that allow you to keep a client a long time happy and generating revenue for the company.
Yeah, you know, and those that's a great setup. Thank you. I appreciate that. And we are Parallel Path for the past going on our 13th year has been very focused on feeding the lead funnel, and particularly in the B2B space. Majority of our clients are ultimately trying to drive those qualified leads for the sales teams, and most marketing consultants or marketing agencies are brought into the mix from a what's called the CMO level. And we've always been fascinated by the challenges and that are brought to the table from the sales team, from the VP of sales, and ultimately everybody's answering to the goals and business objectives of the CEO or the board or whatever the structure of the organization is. So over the last 5 years in particular, I think what Parallel Path has been focused on is not just driving traffic, because anyone can really get traffic, and not just driving leads, because as you said, not all leads are created equal. But really getting to the root of what is, how do we drive the highest quality leads that are ultimately going to convert into revenue? And I think what differentiates our perspective on marketing is we're all working towards the same goal of growth, business growth and revenue growth. And I was speaking at a conference, a digital marketing conference recently. There were 700 people in the audience. And I asked the question, how many marketers are not held accountable to revenue? And expecting no one to raise their hand, but actually three people did raise their hand, and we had a good laugh about some job openings coming up in the area. But you know, ultimately, we want to be business driven, because that's why we're in this game. And so the joy of the hunt, the thrill of the catch that is experienced on the sales side, we also experience on the marketing side. And so foundationally, what we do is it's important to be able to build what we call the data collection infrastructure of your marketing program to be in place that only gives you that end-to-end or 360-degree data view of the quality of your marketing activity. So if we're feeding the funnel, that ultimately is going to enable a sales team to engage in a qualified or sales accepted lead. We want to be able to make sure that the marketing activity, the marketing strategy and the tactics that are involved and the optimization that's involved in that marketing program can be optimized all the way through end to end on the actual revenue and the sale and the sales deals won or closed. And That is the kind of what we've identified as the holy grail, right? If we know a particular, let's say we're running a typical paid search campaign, if we know paid search ads are driving traffic and ultimately driving leads, we want to know which campaigns are also driving the closed deal. Then right. We can optimize a program and invest more deeply into that channel and those tactics and those strategies that actually turn into revenue. And that's where we want to put the dollars. That's where we want to optimize to. And over the last 5 years, what we've been able to do is build a proprietary custom solutions that close that loop between sales revenue, sales activity, marketing activity, and be able to push that data through ultimately our marketing strategies and tactics and in the day-to-day optimizations, whether we're running paid search advertising, organic search, distributing content on social media, and all that ends up driving how we build the content and the messaging and the value propositions, and going back to traditional marketing, a print of brand, so that we're continually optimizing this strategy and this process to making these real connections and these connections that last and driving this revenue. And that's how we're able to hold on to clients for 4 years and watch, even for our longest running clients. We have clients that we've been working with for 7 years that are having record breaking years because we have so much data that we've been able to close the loop on the data from end to end that we're continually optimizing and improving. And that's really is the holy grail. I have a conversation with marketers where they get so excited about just getting leads. There's some a lot of the potential distribution channels that are out there, whether Facebook, for example, and their lead generation ad types, one click and Facebook scrapes all the contact information from the individual and immediately get that lead pushed into your CRM. That's great, but volume is going to go up. Your cost per lead is going to go down, and you're going to be spending a lot of time filtering what ultimately is the digital equivalent of throwing a business card in a fishbowl.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, again, it's about now how do we determine then what is the highest quality marketing activity to revenue? Now we get into some of the important things that you write about in your books around ultimately what is the lifetime value of these customers, the average order value of these customers, and really identifying what is proper a cost per lead threshold that makes sense for driving these quality traffic. So that's kind of the foundational our why of what we do and who we do it for. And I think some of the uniqueness from our perspective is hold us accountable as marketers, like you hold your sales team, like the entire company is held accountable, which is ultimately to revenue growth.
Right.
And whether that revenues come from new business, which the sales team is focused on, going out and getting the whales, dropping the rainmakers and driving in that new business. But this similar approach can also be applied to back-end sales or loyalty sales, recurring revenue sales, or ultimately looking to grow the revenue there as well.
Now, in your world, do you really need to have the handshake between marketing and sales be pretty tight? Because as you said, with the 360 tracking capability, or the ability to do that full circle, mm-hmm. sounds to me like there's some sales conversation snippets or wrap-ups or milestones that you need to have.
Yeah, we're really not interested in throwing the leads over the wall. And we do want to have the sales executives, the sales operations team in particular, having a seat at the table as we map out the strategy and particularly get into the data collection side, because there is a handshake that has to happen there. Often marketing challenges can be around the dependency that we would have on IT support, sales operations support. For example, if we're using a popular CRM like Salesforce, there needs to be some Salesforce engineers collaboration with our developers, because we're going to be doing some custom scripting and some custom integrations into CRMs. And we're CRM agnostic in our solution. We can work with really any of them. We have to collaborate. And that's where the sales executives and the marketing executives need to come together in support of the value of being able to have this end-to-end view so that we can do the 360-degree optimization. They'll have a better close rate. They'll be getting better leads if we're ultimately filling the pipe, helping to fill the pipe with quality leads from the get-go on the marketing end that are based on that revenue. So everybody has a stake in the success of building this type of program in place. And it takes the kind of vision and leadership on the client side to be able to champion that and sit down at the table and make that happen. Not every organization has a very collaborative relationship, as we all know, between the sales and the marketing team. But the mature ones and the successful ones are heading in that direction or have already headed in that direction. So we would love to see, it doesn't happen very often, but just as much as we were working with the marketing teams, sales leaders can definitely champion the idea of not only sitting to the table and say, hey, we're golden leads, but there are solutionists out there that can help deliver these golden leads, and ultimately they could bring a consulting, and we have a very consultative approach, but a consulting agency like ours that can implement that type of solution. But handing it over, yeah, that we all have to work together to make that happen. And often you have, you know, the ideal situation is maybe that sales and marketing leadership is the same person, but sometimes it's not.
Yeah, a lot of times, especially up market, you know, we're going to have a sales director, a marketing director, a sales operations director of some sort. Mm-hmm. And now there's this thing called sales enablement, which is, you know, just yet another thread in there. But I'm curious, I had a call with a colleague of mine who outsources the getting the door opened. So that's what she specializes in. And I was telling her my timeline when I work with clients is typically from an internal point of view. It takes 4 to 6 weeks to get the assembly of the superhighway in place. If they, you know, 4 weeks is the ideal, 6 weeks is more realistic. And then we activate after that. And she can do exactly what I do in 4 weeks. She takes 2 weeks. And I thought, wow, okay, that's awesome. But she says, I got my people. I already know who's going to be working on the account. She's an agency as well. She says, I already know who's going to be working on it. You know, we have the contacts into these larger companies. This is a large, complex sale type of agency. And so I'm curious with the work that you do, Hardy, can you give us some sense of a timeline of what's typical? The benchmark is we're doing more complex sales, perhaps longer sales process, and you know, multiple stakeholders. So what's a typical, you know, like a great client coming in and assembling and then activating and then optimizing?
Yeah. Great question. And one that generally comes up when we're onboarding a new client or going even through our sales process. And, you know, I always have to be careful because if I have our data scientists and engineers in the room and developers, they'll always say, oh, this is an easy project. Get this done real quick. And I would say, well, it's easy when you know how to build the rocket ship.
Yes. And I have a gigantic checklist of things, so I don't leave a stone unturned. And that's probably why I take longer, but right. It doesn't mean that the results aren't just as good with my colleague, but she just knows how to cut things to the chase, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say efficiency and effectiveness are two areas where we spend a lot of time working on our process and trying to make it as frictionless as possible for our clients to onboard and for us to implement these solutions. Ultimately, every deployment is going to still be custom. And I think to your point earlier, there's different stakeholders and depending on the size of the team. And we definitely work with enterprise clients and we work with mid-market challenger brands. And they all have their different infrastructures that are in place. You know, we would work towards from an initial what we call our data collection kickoff to implementation. You know, I know that can happen in 3 weeks, and it has. We recommend that's going to take 4, and then the challenges of potentially some bottlenecks have coming into place. We're going to try to resolve those through our project managers and our consulting team. So the biggest challenges that can arise can be related to resources allocated to sales and marketing operations. And if they have a lot on their plate, then we will often have to escalate the initiatives we're working on and get those to become more prioritized. So on the front end, working with our clients and driving the priority of these initiatives that they're investing in, and these are investments, that they're going to expect to see a return on. That's how we ultimately get them pushed through in a reasonable time frame. So we generally shoot for 4 weeks to get them implemented. Now you start running the data and the data is coming through and you're optimizing against the data. So the 4 weeks is really building the piping in place. You know, that ultimately is dependent upon the volume of the client. And if it's a high average order value, longer sales cycle type of B2B or even B2C business, it takes longer to have the data to ultimately be kind of statistically relevant for us to be optimizing against. And a lot like your proposition of predictive sales, the future and kind of where we're always working towards, and probably a whole nother conversation I'd love to dive into is the where what it means to truly be data driven and our marketing efforts is really moving towards the realm of machine learning, predictive modeling, machine learning, and ultimately even the artificial intelligence of running our marketing campaigns, which is a really exciting thing that we're investing our resources in and to people and technology to ultimately be building our marketing programs based on actual machine learning to help improve the quality of our marketing efforts for an end result of putting a lead in front of a person to follow up on and close the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all the disciplines that I work with, the marketing side is probably going to be the first to activate that type of machine learning in the sense of having those conversations queued up, the right person at the right time, at the right place, with, you know, in the right context. And then sales will probably follow with that because they're still having those one-on-one conversations and we still are in need of the reps wrapping up their conversations in a meaningful manner, which is a lot of what I see is still a challenge for us since we don't use a lot of technology to do that yet. That doesn't mean we won't in the future, but, you know, just the simple things like taping a phone call are illegal in some states. So there's some things that we can't do, just we have to rely on the reps to close that conversation and wrap it up in a meaningful way so we know what themes, pain things they talked about, next steps, you know, the things that would allow us to then quickly change this conversation of any type of campaigns that we're using to more quickly focus on the areas of challenge that the actual person has, the buyer has. So yeah, I see that as still, it's an opportunity, you know, more so than a challenge, but we definitely need to work on that in sales.
Right. Yeah. And I think in the world of the more complicated sell, there's always going to be the human element, but with machine learning and the implementation of these algorithms based on actual behavior and creating these predictive models for ultimately delivering our relevancy for the potential customer or client and ultimately delivering more relevancy for the sales professional as well. What that is going to mean is a shorter sales cycle, a more efficient sales cycle. I don't see any time in our immediate future the elimination of the human element. Now, positions that are at risk in the whole team of marketing to sales are positions such as the analyst. You know, I think if I was an analyst right now, I'd be getting an education on machine learning as well, because there's just too many variables. We have access to so much data, and so you know, big data is intimidating. We can try to make it smaller, but also look at how to leverage all this big data and just have the right tools in place to help decipher the behavior that's happening on the front end before it becomes a lead to ultimately optimize our marketing efforts. So, for example, just looking at the way if a website is getting enough traffic, we can look at the way people are engaging in the content of the website without necessarily downloading assets that might get them into like a lead scoring funnel of some sort.
Right.
Looking at how they're actually engaging with a website as a predictor of whether or not they would potentially become a qualified lead, and then being able to tie that back into how those type of behavior sets ultimately lead to closed deals. Then we can start looking at how we completely change the way we look at the way we build our website, the type of contents we put on our website, the type of assets we put on our website, and building that does require a lot more than just a human analysis.
Right.
I recently heard that before Google serves a paid search ad to an individual search query, they look at 5,000 different variables.
Wow.
And when somebody is managing a paid search account, and anywhere from they're managing it from their home office and they're just kind of learning the craft to where you have a sophisticated, you know, experienced team like we have here at Parallel Path, if you're just doing it on a human level, there's just no way you can take optimize against that many variables and be successful. You ultimately start to cherry pick.
Right, exactly.
And so we would rather take it to the level where we're really using machine learning to do that type of optimization. So it's exciting for us. One of the questions you asked, kind of what are we up to these days? And so we're continuing to deliver in the now, and we have resources and really brighter people than me working on what the future state of digital is also going to look like. And it's fun to do that because at the end of the day, we are a tight boutique shop here in Boulder, but we're able to attract some very bright people that want to work on these types of projects, and then maybe go mountain biking at lunch.
Or as my son who lives there, he loves going snowboarding.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so he just, you know, have snowboard, we'll travel on the back of his backpack, you know, kind of thing. So yeah, it's great. Well, Hardy, thank you so much for your time. I'd like to end this by you letting people know how to they can get a hold of you. And we'll put some of the links on your page so that if you're driving, you don't need to take down his information. But let us know how we can reach you and what's the best way to have a continued conversation if people listening are interested in whether or not you're a good fit for them.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, we're always looking for the right fit. A lot of our client partners are kind of even middle to late adopters, and they really need a trusted digital solutionist to help support them in the building of their digital marketing program. And we really are end to end. We can launch an entire program from scratch or elevate someone's marketing program that's been in place. And we also can come in at a channel level as well. And so our website is parallel.com, and we're excited. We actually launched a new website. And if anyone has any questions, they can always just reach out to me, and all my contact information will be there, hcalisher@parallelpath.com. And happy to have good conversations with sales professionals.
Well, thank you so much. And want to end this by, if you weren't listening to the beginning of the call, Hardy is an elite soccer coach. It's just so impressive. And he was nominated this year as the National High School Coaches Association Soccer Coach of the Year. So congrats on that, too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's, like I said, lots of parallels between.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, thank you so much for your time. And I appreciate you sharing with us where things are going.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mary Lou.